Welcome to the Geeks Roundtable Podcast with Ryan Scherer, Fabio Caffaro, and David Brown. Join us every Thursday at 1 Pacific, 4 Eastern to learn all the geeky goodness from PPC, SEO, dev, design, security, and much, much more. Visit GeeksRoundtable.com today.
And the geeks are back in town. I want to welcome you all to another edition of the Geeks Roundtable. Today, we have myself, Ryan Scherer, and David Brown on the line. Fabio playing hooky again. But no, he's actually going to a doctor's appointment with his daughter, so we wish him the best, and we hope everything works out good. He'll be missed as usual. Dave, how are you doing, bud?
Excellent. Now to get better. Thanks for asking.
How was your New Year's? Did you do anything exciting?
Oh, we went to old friends I've known for, since 87. We usually all get together and spend New Year's together, so it was a lot of fun and a couple of new faces, and everybody was good. And lots of fun, lots of food, put on a couple pounds, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't go out. I like to call I'll call New Year's Eve amateur night, and it I think it's partially because I'm a retired law enforcement officer, so I'm used to seeing all the amateurs out there. I'm trying to drink as much as possible, so I just stay home. I'm like, no, that's okay. I'm good, man. I'll just stay home and I'll watch it on TV.
Yep. So. That is always a concern, although AAA here did a really cool deal. Any time between 6 o'clock and 6 p.m., if you were knackered, you could call and they would tow your car for free, even if you were not a AAA member. So kudos to you guys. That was awesome. If anybody from AAA.
Ooh. Yeah, shout out for AAA. That's really cool, especially doing something like that and really not expecting anything in return. That's really what the holidays are all about, honestly. So it's good to see a business that actually does that. So cool. Speaking of businesses, we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of different businesses that me and Dave ran into, all the cool little geeky toys that we found in 2014 that we think might serve you guys in 2015. If you haven't already found out about them. So we're going to kind of go through a bunch of those. And I'll let Dave start off with something. Where do we want to start? We want to start in, like, productivity, or where are we going to go? Where are we going to start?
Oh, geez. Well, there's a couple of them that I really like right now, Nuzzle and Snipply. I did a beta test. I was reading on Reddit. Snipply is not just a URL shortener, like Bitly or the t.co for Twitter. I'm sure you guys have all seen URL shorteners before. Instead of leaving some massively long URL, you can provide somebody with a quick short link. And in some cases, you can even edit those. So you can put my site or whatever at the end of that. So what Snipply does that's really interesting, there's an overlay, and you have a Chrome plugin, very simple to use. I believe they have a 10-day free trial, and then it's something like $10 a month. Don't quote me on that. The way that it works, you can use any site's social media buttons. So if you're sending it out to Facebook or Twitter or Google Plus or the like, it creates a link for you, and then you're able to, it pulls in your Gravatar image or your Twitter image or your Facebook image. You have a choice. And then you can put in, say, for example, you're reading something about the social semantic web. Further reading over here, and here is a little button, and you can make that button go to your own website. So if you read a really great article on the Washington Post and you'd like to say, I've got further information over here. I've been writing about RDFA and the social semantic web for the last 3 years. There's quite a bit of information. Click here. Anybody that follows that from my Twitter account goes and sees that. There's going to be a little hover image with my avatar, my little sentence, and the click here button at the bottom left-hand corner of the article that you're reading. So it's getting click-throughs, and you can drive additional traffic, and it's really cool. It's something... Excuse me. It's something I think that will get a lot more traction this year in the social space. So that's Snipply, and it's snip.ly. And the other one,
and I have,
Nuzzle. And
I have a link in the description, and I'll put a link in the description of all the stuff that we're talking about. Usually I don't know prior to the show, so I kind of do it as we're talking. I just signed up for Snipply because I want to play with it. I've never used it before. So it didn't charge me anything, and I signed in with my Twitter account. So it was a pretty easy sign up, and it's now got me at Start the Tour. So, I mean, I did that and literally about the time he finished up talking about it. Yeah, but it didn't take that long. I mean, it was like the last 2 minutes we'd be talking, and boom, I'm done. So I'll check it out. Sounds cool.
Very, very cool. The other one I wanted to mention is Nuzzle. N-U-Z-Z-E-L, I believe. It's an E-L, not L-E. And it comes from, I believe, the CEO of Friendster created this. And the nice thing about this, you OAuth with your Facebook and your Twitter profiles, and it takes and kind of correlates all the top news from your groups. So I follow a few thousand people on Twitter. A lot of them are industry people, marketing people, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of that news is pertinent to me. So I can go through. It takes a couple of seconds to load when they're going through everything. But it'll say, you know, with, if this was shared on Facebook or if it was shared on Twitter and how many times it was shared. So, you know, I follow Barry Schwartz and Danny Sullivan and the regular rigmarole, Moz and everything like that in SEO. So when I see something that comes out, like Land's 2015 predictions and things of that nature, I pop in, go get them a read. If it's good, I'll send it back out. The nice thing about this is it's kind of like with Reddit. Quality articles are going to be upvoted. Funny things are going to be upvoted. Crap is going to be downvoted and pretty much disappear, so it's not on your radar at all. You don't waste a bunch of time looking at crap that you don't have time to look at. So with this, it does kind of the same thing, counting retweets and tweets and Facebook shares and likes and things of that nature. And it correlates the top quality stuff. So you're really, you can condense the reading time that you have, particular site. So it filters everything really well. And I've sent out quite a few of those, and those end up getting the most retweets, which if you're into your clout score at all, I was doing a little experiment with clout over the last month. I went from a 60 to a 65, whoop-de-doo, right? But it's the more retweets you get from other people, I'm getting people with larger or higher clout scores following me. And of course, it's nice to get them follow back if they're giving quality information and whatnot. So those, as far as productivity goes in the social space, those two are my picks for this year. They're great. So.
That's pretty cool.
It's completely free. So.
See, I use Flipbook on my iPhone, but I want to check out this Nuzzle because getting your news, I mean, I don't have a lot of time because, I mean, I've got a company to run. So getting your news is always something tough for me. So maybe I'll check out that Nuzzle and see what they've got to offer because it looks kind of cool. And again, there'll be a link in there. And I suppose I can put a link to Flipboard if I can find it. Since I mentioned it, I like that I just found not too long ago that I found extremely easy to use and to play with. It's called Nimble. And that's NIMBLE.com. And Nimble is a kind of contact management software. And they've got a free, I think. No, they don't. They have a paid. It's a paid, it's like $15 for a business. So like you can add, you know, three or four of your business, your employees in there and they can play with it too. But it tracks not just your contacts, but it tracks your activities and it tracks your calendar. It tracks your social events, emails. And it also has this nifty little thing called deals. So, like, oh, okay, cool. So it's really neat. And it basically, it brings everything in to one spot. So, I mean, instead of having to check your email, it's got messages in there. So you can hook it up with your Gmail or with your email and have it brought into that, into the messages. So it's just, it takes everything that you usually spend a lot of time chasing down, you know, contacts like, oh, what's Joe's number? You know, so you're going like, oh, I don't know. Let me look through my email. So you look through your email and you finally find it. Y'all, let me go check my calendar, see what's going on. Let me go check my reminders. Oh, you know, what, you know, who is it on Twitter I got to talk to, and LinkedIn and Facebook and Google Plus, and, you know, I mean, all that stuff is integrated into this one spot, which is wicked cool to me, to have all that so you don't have to chase a bunch of stuff down. And I haven't had much experience with their little pipeline management, like their deals, but I'm going to try and play with that. And because we use a whole different system, you know, like a project board and all that stuff for stuff that we do, but I'm just thinking, that's kind of cool to have it all in one spot. And to me, $15 a month for me, and, you know, I throw, you know, a couple other partners on there, maybe not lower level employees, but that's pretty cool. You know, so yeah. If you get a chance, check that out, nimble.com. It says relationship intelligence for better connections to grow your business. And quite honestly, yeah, I mean, I think it'll live up to its name. Like I said, I've been playing with it in 2014. I'll continue to play with it in 2015. I think it's very useful, and I think they really did a good job of setting it up, putting it together. There's a section called Signals, it's in beta right now, beta testing form. They're basically, what it does is it allows you to monitor any of your mentions on any of the social media that you've got connected to it. So if somebody says something, hey, on, you know, Twitter, it's in there. And you don't have to go and check each individual one. Again, you're just checking in one spot. To me, any time I can save time is like a big deal. So that, super cool. Good.
I'm using TweetDeck's platform for that because I manage multiple Twitter accounts for clients and my own Twitter account as well. So that, I wonder if they have multiple accounts available. If it's in beta, maybe that's something they'll do in the future. But TweetDeck for me, running as a separate desktop application, is paramount. I can't. There's certain things I just can't get rid of, like GTalk. We tried Mumble Server and this and that, and GTalk is so much easier. And now I actually am using Skype again. But
yay! I finally got to use Skype. Yay!
Well, I switched to a new computer that's the Nuke, which stands for Next Unit of Computing from Intel. My entire computer, half a terabyte of hard drive and 16 gigs of RAM, that thing freaking flies. And where I'm at, Comcast is testing for the test bed for fiber so they can win the Seattle contract. I'm running on average at 120 megs down. So my,
yeah, no, I saw that. I couldn't believe that.
Exciting. So
I couldn't believe that either. He had me on join me. He was showing me, and I was like, because where I'm at, I mean, 50 megabits per second download is about what you get. I mean, that's top of the line. That's what I've got. And
right.
When he showed me, I just blew my mind. I was like, oh my God. Yeah, so I've got internet envy for Dave's area, just so you all know. I mean, I'll admit it, I'll fully admit it. I have internet envy.
It's only run in between the substations right now, and I was talking to the Comcast guy last time he was out, and he said, yeah, we can't throttle it at all. I'm only paying for the 50. I've got business class, so I'm only paying for the 50 megabits per second. I'm getting more than double that, which, by the way,
well, that was like 130. I mean,
mention that. Please don't take that away, Comcast. I love it. I'm getting more than I'm paying for, so, which is great. That doesn't usually happen. And he said, just wait until we run it to the individual businesses. You'll be much faster. So it's just fiber line running between the substations right now, and freaking phenomenal, man. So anyways, fast internet, fast computer, all that good stuff. We're redoing Matrix Marketing, which, by the way, there's a perfect lead into our next bit. I haven't I haven't hand-coded anything in a couple of years, just because we have quality dev design guys that handle all that stuff. You know, I anchor texts here and there, fixing this or that. I can do that. I'm still sort of versed in PHP and HTML, obviously, but I was talking to Ryan yesterday. I said, what are you using? I used to use Crimson Editor to edit everything, and I like it because there's a little dummy switch on it, basically. If you've forgotten to close a tag or open a tag or anything of that nature, the tab is red. And, oh, that means it's not going to – I screwed up somewhere. If it turns green, green for go, I'm good. So what I was worried about, because I haven't done this in a while, and bug Ryan, hey, what did I do here, or how do I do this, or did I just screw that up, type of conversations that we have.
Oops.
He sent over, what was it, i9.io?
No, it's Cloud9.
Okay, Cloud9.
It's called Cloud9, and the domain is c9.io, and basically what it is it's online IDE. So it's a code editor, a terminal, JavaScript. You can run and debug your code. You can hook in your add-on services like your GitHub and your Bitbucket for version control. It's a really cool project, and they've got a free. You can do it free, and then there's also a premium account. Obviously, I have a premium account. You get an SSH key with it. You know, and you can do online live collaboration, which is why I said to Dave, you really ought to try this, because that way I could actually be in the code editor with him. And if there's like, oh, well, what happened here? I'd be like, oh, look, on line 24, you see the error, you know. And it has a built-in chat inside of it as well that allows teams to, you know, work remotely together. So, I mean, if you're a smaller design firm and, you know, let's say you're using outsource, you know, from India or China or wherever you are, which I don't recommend, but I know there's a lot of you guys out there doing that. So, you know, whatever. It gives you that ability to work remotely with teams. And, like, we work remotely all over the United States. So, I mean, we can talk to our guys in Arizona, our guys in Pennsylvania, our guys here in Ohio. I mean, we can talk to all these different guys and work remotely in the same environment, which makes it kind of nice. So that's another tidbit of advice.
The other thing I just found out prior to starting the podcast, because I was going, what are these lines, Ryan? Because there's three of us in the code, and that's really cool too, because if somebody borks something up on the site, you can just mouse over any code that's changed by anybody that's invited to the project has a different color code to it. You mouse over it, and it says who is responsible for that code. So there's there's a bit of you got to take honest on yourself. I guess I did that code. Especially when you're working on a project.
If you look in the collaboration window, there is a colored line right beside whoever you are. Like in Dave's particular case, I have a green line. Dave has an orange line, and Russ has a purple line. So you can just hover over that line and see that that's the person who changed that code. And that way it gives you an idea of who did it. So if you go back, you're like, man, I don't understand. I can't wrap my head around what he was thinking and where he was going with this. You can always go back to that developer and say, like, hey, I saw you did da 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 da. Why didn't you do this? Or what were you thinking when you did it? And they can explain it to you. And then you're like, oh, okay, cool. All right, now I understand. And the
there's
funny thing is, like, Dave, right, when Dave did all of it, because there's a lot of it in there that has, like, orange line underneath it and things like that. And he was like, what are these orange lines? And, you know, I didn't put that in there. It's like, well, of course you did, because you started the account. So when you put it in there, it gave it to you. It said, okay, this person, here's all this code that's in the account. It attributed it to you because it's your account. So then when Russ or I went in and changed something, you'll see that green line, you'll see that purple line, but everything else if you notice on the left-hand side of your screen, there is an orange line that runs all the way down, except for the purple lines, where Russ made his changes. Yeah. So it's also a really quick way to be able to find edits, because you can scroll down and you're just like, okay, there's purple. All right. Okay, change this. All right, that's good. Yeah. And so it's a really, really, really awesome online editor, and it allows you to work remotely with teams and put people together where they're able to actually see the code that you're writing. So like if I change something, you know, Dave or Russ could say like, oh man, you know, I don't know what's going on. I can't get this thing to run. This is messed up. I keep getting this error. Can you look at it? I can be in there looking at the same exact page that they are, like we're right next to each other in office. So that, well, to me, is invaluable.
Think back. We've been working together for well over a decade now. And prior to Dreamweaver having first in, first out, you remember,
yeah,
I think we're working on Congressman Weaver's campaign, re-election campaign,
right,
built a new site.
Right near the top of each
and
other's code.
Yeah. Rob would go in and, oh, I made all these changes. Where the hell did all my changes go? What the? Yeah, that is a huge problem when you have multiple people working in there, because you do an update to the live site.
Well, that was
my changes go up, but I just deleted everything Ryan spent 2 hours on.
That was back before version control even came out. Well, actually, I shouldn't say it, before it came out, but before it was so readily used. Subversion was, you know, you had a bunch of cowboy coders that would kind of work from their own laptop, and then just FTP up to a server. And so at that point, you're FTPing over top of what somebody else just did. So there wasn't any version control way back in, I mean, oh, hell, that's probably 20 years ago. but yeah, I remember what you're talking about.
Well, I know when it came out, we had to do the major update, and it was called first in, first out, right? So it'd give you, much like WordPress, if any of you have ever collaborated on a WordPress account, and it says so-and-so is currently editing this file, you're locked out of it. You can either take control if you have admin privileges or not. Or, you know, ideally, we're always on the phone on three ways and four ways and whatever, how many conference calls, yada, yada. Are you almost done with that? I need to hop in there and do this or that or whatever the case may be. But, yeah, that's a huge problem. It's pretty much been fixed. Tech is getting a lot easier, the barrier to entry. These things make it very easy to collaborate. Love it. Good stuff. So I suggest any of you that are collaborating on anything like that, this isn't something I'm using the free account because we're only working on our one site because I wanted to build my own site. I haven't done it in a while. It's kind of like a woodworking project. I love woodworking as well. If I had a full-on shop like I used to, you know, this is kind of my my bliss, that and cooking. But other than that, yeah, fun to hop in there and do that. And neat new tech to try out. So, yeah, don't be afraid to try it.
I love it. I've been using it for well over a year now. Love it. It's been good to me. The guys over there, if I have an issue or anything, are always right there. So yeah, gotta get to them. Speaking of WordPress, I always hated Jetpack.
Huh.
Dave's going to tell you why you shouldn't.
Well,
so
I can't go into all the Jetpack. Jetpack, I believe, was acquired by WordPress. Not certain on that. I was just saying, out of the stuff we've been doing with it in the last few months, there's some really, really cool stuff in Jetpack. So if you don't have Jetpack set up, go ahead and install it, play around with it, test it out. You can activate, deactivate, all kinds of different stuff. So like Twitter feed, we've used Twitter feed to auto-post tweets for a long time. And if you had your Twitter account hooked to your Facebook business page, it would go from Twitter to Facebook, so you didn't have to go once your scheduled or your cron job article gets published on a Tuesday or Thursday. You don't have to then go to Twitter and Facebook and create one. Granted, if you have the time and it's just your company, please do. That's probably the best way. Well, that is the best way to do it. you know, Twitter feed, you can say, fresh from the desk of Lottie Blah Company, and then boom, here's a shortened URL to your new blog post. So we also love doing that because Googlebot is all over Twitter like a hefty gal on a Twinkie. Is that a, I'm trying to be PC here. Batman.
Nice, nice.
Yeah,
exactly.
Anyways.
Speaking of, everyone should check that out. Fatman and Speedos Eating Doritos.com. That's a it's a wonderful domain.
It is. Actually, where do you have that pre-order redirected to?
It goes to my Twitter account. Yeah.
Perfect. Now,
Fatman and Speedos.
Kind of on the internet.com going to my Twitter account. Ryan and I oftentimes get into trouble and have to stop and take a second. Go, all right, we got to stop screwing around. These are professionals. I almost entered a join me meeting with an inappropriate username. And anyways.
Yeah, I tend anymore. Even when I want to joke around a little bit, I try and keep it PC. Like, you know, I'll go into one of his join me's with customers and stuff, and it'll say like, you know, enter name. So I do. I put enter name and then just, you know, join. Dave's like,
enter name.
Oh, man, you got to quit doing that. I'm like, well, it's better than some of the other ones I come up with. Well, let's talk about Jet.
I do right, believe so, the reason I mentioned that is because you were in a meeting and we had somebody pop in. And who's Fat Man in Speedos Eating Doritos? Oh, that'd be Ryan.
Immediately.
Yeah, that's Ryan.
Yeah. You can count on Dave to just toss you right under the bus. He's not going to be like, oh, sorry. So let's talk about that. So you got to log into and you got to create a WordPress.com account. Okay. That's the one thing that I've never really liked about it is because, however, that does give you a single sign on. Okay. That's supposed to be a plus. It has site management stuff inside that. And through WordPress.com, that's where it links through the stats. So you do get some pretty decent, clear, concise reports about stuff. So, you know, that's a good. In the appearance section of Jetpack, you wind up with some custom CSS stuff. There's extra sidebar widgets. There's infinite scroll. There's add a site icon. There's widget visibility, which means you can make it only visible on this page and not on that page, which is kind of nice. Not stuff that you can't already do.
It's actually very handy. You have to code it.
Other ways.
It's more of a widget for people that aren't developers.
Exactly. Especially people who don't have a developer on staff or don't want to hire a developer or whatever the case may be. This is a cheap way to get some good functionality. So, I mean, I'm not reversing my I don't like Jetpack, but I am kind of changing my view on it to it is usable by folks who aren't the developer breed, I guess. And there's a few paid things in it too, like they've got VideoFresh. VideoFresh is.
And I gotta say, real quickly, as I'm saying, I'll win you over. Years ago, I used to argue back and forth with Ryan all the time. WordPress is the future. Drupal and Joomla are pretty good. I don't know why you like WordPress so much. I won that argument, didn't I? So. Anyway,
it's true. It's true. I come from straight PHP. So even PHP Nuke back in the day, way back in the day, I was all over that. Drupal, Joomla, Mambo. I mean, these were new CMSs that were coming out. They were nice. If I haven't ever mentioned it on the show, open source CMS. I think it's opensourcecms.com. Look in the show description, and I'll find that link, and I'll put it in there. But basically, it allows you to go in and play with all these different CMS things. So you can play with a WordPress install inside of there, and they redo them every hour, I think. They just blow it away and then redo it. Let me see here. Open source CMS. Let's see if that is in fact, yeah, it's opensourcecms.com. And I'll still put the link in there. But it allows you to go in and play with CMS portals, e-commerce portals. So So it's got demos of everything. So like if you wanted to go play with a Zen cart or an Open cart or a Magento or OS Commerce and a plethora of others, they're in there. If you wanted to play with like a WordPress or a Drupal or, you know, Concrete or, you know, any of those different CMS things, that's in there too. It allows you to play with different groups where blog platforms, forum platforms, image galleries, you know, e-learning stuff, wikis, whatever. There's a bunch of it in there. You can play with it. It's all free. Doesn't cost you a thing. You can go in and play with it and see if you like it and then go to the particular whomever's site and get the actual software yourself. But it gives you a chance to play with stuff before before you mess with it. So I'll add a link to that. That's something I never even thought of that I use quite frequently just because somebody will mention, oh, I'm using, you know, Red X. I don't even know what that is. You know, so I'll go and I'll look, and I'll play it a little bit, like, oh, okay, this is like simple CMS. All right, well, it's not bad. So, yeah, that's something that if you're a developer or if you're just a plain geek like the rest of us, you probably really enjoy that as well. But getting back to Jetpack, and if I didn't mention already, it's jetpack.me. That's jetpack.me. There are some paid services that are interesting. Like they've got a video press. And now this is all automatic. And by automatic, I mean WordPress. This is all their stuff. They also have VaultPress, which is a backup solution for it. There's a mobile version. There's, you know, different types of short code embeds. There's all kinds of social stuff. It's got likes, subscriptions, sharing, all that. Now, on the developer, and this is why I'm kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever. Here's what we got on the developer section. Okay, you've got the JSON API, which, all right, that's great. You've got OmniSearch. Okay, that's great. And then you've got Monitor, which, you know, kind of monitors if it goes wrong offline. That's all I got as a developer. That's all you're giving me. I got nothing else. So that's why it's not that useful of a tool for me, but not saying that it's not a useful tool. That's where I'm changing my view. I'm not saying it's not a useful tool anymore. I'm saying it's not a useful tool for me. So there's a lot, like
image
I said,
galleries alone, just for the image gallery, being able to do tiled mosaic circles, and then being able to add the structured data for the EXIF and titles, descriptions, and links back to other interior pages. Because let's face it, guys, Google image search, we have a client right now that 85,000, it varies on the month, 80 to 85,000 unique visitors per month come through Google image searches. And being able to bolster that and rank well, because Google, at the end of the day, is a bot. If you feed that bot data, it's like Pavlov's dog, right? Ring the bell, holy cow, this is awesome. They're going to come and eat it up. We've had some really weird and crazy experiences with Google image search. So, you know, and I should probably work into Pinterest at some point here too, because, you know, depending on what kind of blue widgets you're trying to sell online, not everything's going to work well on Pinterest. And that's what I think 72% female. Great place to go figure out DIY, do-it-yourself boards, things of that nature. Oh, look at this. You can make this at home, or you can do this, or you can do that.
Or, you know, I know Dave likes to go and look at purses, too. So,
yeah. Hold your tongue and say that. Seriously, hold your tongue and say purse.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, okay. Pinterest just came out, I believe, the 5th, a couple days ago. We have a client that was in the beta for the advertising, and I noticed as well, Rand Fishkin brought this up in his 2015 predictions as well. We'd already been testing it since October. They're not converting clicks for the most part, but they are driving a ton of traffic, which is decent. I don't really care so much for traffic. I could pay a robot and use Uzbekistan to send a whole bunch of BS traffic to a client site and go, look at that, I got you a whole bunch of traffic. If they're not converting, it doesn't do us any good. So it is interesting from a brand management standpoint, because it gets the brand and the brand name out there and people see it. And as long as you have quality content behind that, which we do our best to do really good quality content, it is interesting, but and it does help out. We're starting, Fabio and I are starting to see it happen in the assisted conversions. Pinterest is starting to become a player. So that's something for 2015. If you're not aware of it, there is paid advertising, and it's dirt cheap, by the way. That's something I would absolutely recommend. If you have a photography friendly, I don't care if it's tractors or diamonds or cooking place would be great, because you can put up really great pictures of, you know, step one, step two, step three, step four of how to make this casserole or whatever the case may be. Put them together, and then people are going to click through, come find the recipe, and you're going to have long on-site visitors. So there is some really good stuff to it. So it all depends on how you're monetizing your website. If you're selling blue widgets, if you're selling ad space because of your traffic, it all depends. But Pinterest is also going to be a player this year. So, but I do love Jetpack for the simple fact that their galleries are so freaking awesome. We did run into one issue, and I've got one of our JavaScript developers working on it right now. The way that the images are set up, it's whatever your URL is, / blah, 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 / image or J carousel, # - 1048 or 2010 or whatever the number is on that image in your media file library. So Google's got some recommendations there. If you put an exclamation point after the hashtag, Google will then follow those and read those. So we're currently testing that. We'll get back to you and let you know on a future episode how that worked out. Look, if we can go out and bring in 100,000 unique visitors to a website with 30, 40 images, that's huge. People are going to spend time digging into the rest of your site if you've got great images, right? We're doing this primarily for a before and after gallery. So people spend a lot of time looking at this, which is great, because Google, when somebody comes to your site and they spend 6 to 10 minutes on your website, Google says, hey, we're sending these people to a good site because they didn't immediately hit the back button within 30 seconds. Great for SEO. So that's why I got into the Jetpack. And then when I found all of the other things that they have, like, wow, this is deep. A lot of stuff in there. So from a development standpoint, you're right, Ryan. You can tell a widget not to show on these pages. You know how to code that. If your coding is at my level, I'm not going to hop in there and do that. I'm going to ask Ryan to do it for me. But if you don't have a Ryan that you have, you know, working with you full time, then you're kind of going to be up a creek.
Like I said, we'll leave it with the fact that it's a useful tool. It's just not really a useful developer tool. You know, which brings us to our next kind of developer end type of tool, Blesta. That's BLESTA.com. Okay, it is a billing software and hosting platform management, if you will, software. So if you have a hosting provider like HostGator or I don't know, any of those other that I don't particularly care for, you see how, like, if you have a support ticket, and you can go and you can put in a support ticket, and then somebody answers you back, and then you answer them, so you've got a support area. You can go to their website and you can buy hosting, and it'll all set up and send out the emails and all that stuff. That's what this software is. Okay, this allows you as a developer to say, okay, I want to start offering hosting to my clients. I don't want to just be a design firm anymore. So there are big software firms that you can go to and you can get contracts with for, you know, $10,000-$15,000 a month, and they'll handle all that stuff for you. But this is something for the small guy that says, hey, I want to be able to run my own little hosting company. You know, I'm not going to be GoDaddy, but I'm going to be, you know, Joe's Hosting. When it comes down to price, it's not cheap, but it is. There's a one-off cost. So basically, if you want it branded with Blesta, you know, they'll have all their little, you know, support with Blesta, blah blah blah. It's $250, but it's a one-time fee. If you want it where it's unbranded, where you can put all your own logos and all that stuff in, it's $300. It costs you an extra $50. Again, not bad. The problem you're going to have with that is you're going to need the renewal after a year is $39. So you're going to get hit with the $39 per year. Again, not terribly expensive. They do have a lifetime membership type of thing. It's a one-off price of $500. Or you can go with a monthly, you know, which I never really care too much for. I'd rather, you know, pay $1,000 and own it than do the $15 a month. But they have an unbranded and a branded. They have an unbranded for $14.95 and they have a branded for $12.95. So that said, let's look at some of the stuff this does, okay? Because this is like stupid awesome. You've got your client management, okay? So a client can manage their own domain. Let's say you go get an Enom account or something like that. You can integrate it into this Blesta, and the client can manage their own domain. So you don't, no longer are they calling you and saying, hey, I got an email saying my, you know, domain's going to expire. Can you take care of that? You know, I don't know how to log in. They can log in to the back end of the system, and they can update it themselves. They can put their credit card in and update it. It's got automated billing. So you've got, you know, if you're a guy who actually does this kind of hosting thing on your own and you're sending invoice every month to people, by golly gosh, that would suck. Because after you get like 162, 150, you know, customers, half them to sit down and make 150 invoices a month, pretty bad. So it's got an automated billing system inside of it. It's got a support system. So if they have a problem, they can go to the support and they can put in a ticket and you can have it assigned. You can have staff in there. You can assign 20, 30 guys and say, okay, you guys are now support staff. And it'll email off to them and they can handle those issues back and forth. There's a two-sided login. So there's an admin side that you as a owner of the account can go and log in, and you can create people's domains through it. You can create hosting accounts through it. You can say, yeah, I created a hosting account. I want to send an invoice. You can say, no, I just want to create an invoice, or I want to create an account. Don't send an invoice. And it'll give you basically your own back-end support center where customers can log into, just like the big companies, just like GoDaddy, just like Rackspace, Rack Solutions. You know, all these big companies, they have all this type of thing set up in the back end of theirs. And it's got tons of integrations. It's got cPanel integration. So if you have a cPanel account, let's say you've got a reseller account at, you know, Site5 or, you know, one of the other hosting companies out there, and it's ran on cPanel, you can hook in through, you know, your remote SSH keys and all that stuff, and a remote server key, you can hook your server to it. And you can say, I have the ability to sell 10 accounts, okay? And you tell it, okay, I got 10 accounts. Once you sell those 10 accounts, the system will email you and say, hey, you need to go get another server because all your space is taken on this one. And then you just go in and you do it again. So, I mean, literally, this thing could turn into your automated system that you can sell your hosting through. So you're just going, all you got to do is go buy another server space, another reseller's account, hook that up, and then say, I've got 10 more I can sell. It takes care of a lot of the hard work. Now, with that said, I have to, in all honesty, I got to say, I've messed with it. there is a little bit of a learning curve for setting it up. There's a ton of stuff to do to set it up. However, once it's done, it's automated. You know, it'll automatically do all the stuff that you need to do. And again, you know how I like the one spot where you can go and get all your information. This, for your hosting stuff, you can go into the one spot. You can see the sales. You can see the customers that you have. You can see when customers logged in. You can see what customers are saying to your staff, what your staff are saying back, and support tickets. So it'll give you a bird's eye view of what's going on with your hosting platform. And that's Blesta.com. And they've got a free trial and a demo that you can play with. And it's cool. I think it's going to be something that's going to get a little bit more traction this year, just due to the amount of integrations that are in it. I mean, because I know some people were real crazy about Stripe. Oh, I have to use Stripe, you know, and that's a great thing that it's got integration for that. Some people are checkout.com, you know, ePay, you know, BitPay, you know, there's all of it is on there. Enom is one of them, which I'm trying to think. What is Enom? Enom's a domain registration.
Pardon?
Namecheap. Enom.
Namecheap. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, Namecheap and Enom. There, you can go get a reseller's account to sell domain names. You can go to mine and get a reseller's account to sell domain names. But whatever. The fact of the matter is there's a lot of different integrations into this that will make it very useful for the small businessman that doesn't have the thousands upon thousands of dollars to throw at one of the bigger systems. I've used this. I've played with it. I've got it on a dev server, just messing with it. And that's what you'll find, Dave. I mean, we're the true geeks. We constantly are buying software, playing with new software. People will come to us and say, like, hey, can you please test this out and tell me what you think? You know, because they know it's a viable for our market. So if you got some software or something you want us to test out, you know, give us a ring and go to geeksroundtable.com and contact us and let us know. We'll play with it. And if we find it awesome, we'll put it on the show. Like, hey, you know, hey, this is cool, man. We found this and yeah, blah, blah, blah. So, There's a lot of companies that we do that for, and I guess I'd never really even thought of that because it's just something we do. But it's fun to play with.
Right.
It's I love new geeky toys to play with, and so
geek
that's one.
Brian.
Oh,
that's
one that is wicked
pizza?
Cool.
You know how the hipster burned his mouth with pizza?
I have no idea.
He ate it before it was cool.
yeah, okay. Right.
Cool. Anyways, yeah, we've been lucky enough to test out a lot of really cool stuff and actually give some information back. And on that note, I want to mention real briefly, Raven Tools. John Henshaw is a friend of mine. I like John a lot. He's funny. Good guy all around. They're doing a BYOD beta test right now. Instead of bring your own beer, it's bring your own data, and allowing you to play around with all kinds of different charts and this and that. A lot of the SEO platforms out there, here's your standard report. Something Fabio and I have been talking about for a long time with our clients is assisted conversions. You may have heard me say assisted conversions for the win. You know, these are buying cycles with clients. How do they come in? Maybe they come in through social and then they find organic, or they come in through PPC. We've got some trails that have 22 visits, you know, and a lot of times that's on the higher end, higher ticket items. You're selling a shower curtain, somebody's going to go, yeah, that's a good deal, buy it, put it in their cart and check out, right? A $3,500 purchase, however, they're going to do their research to make sure they're not getting screwed before they buy something off the internet for $3,500, right? And we find that's really the cusp of high-end products. Well, in our experience anyways, I'm sure other people have other data to back up their arguments, but they're not on the show. So I will say that the BYOD is very interesting. I am a huge fan of Raven tools. I also enjoy Moz's tools. However, we don't use them anymore because multiple reports from all these other places. We already have API accounts with most of the areas where they pull their data from. And if they're hooking to your analytics, your Google Analytics and your Google Webmaster tools, I live inside of Google Webmaster tools and Google Analytics. That's my playpen. So I think it's great because Google Analytics allows you to change so many things. And if you're not familiar, they do an Analytics Academy, which is completely free. Google built it. Pop in there, and you can find so much information about the people that are visiting your site. You know, the time to purchase. Is somebody looking at this on January 1st and they're going to make a purchase before the 31st? Are they going to do it in the first 3 weeks? How long does it take? When you can start to see some of this behavioral work that people do, well, not work that they do, but their buying cycles, things of that nature. Why are some of these people taking a month to buy something from me? We need to have a stronger call to action on the page. We need to give them an offer. If they buy today, free shipping, right? There's all kinds of different things. Get into your data this year. Get in there, have some fun, play around. Even if you don't know what's going on, go to Reddit. Come to our Ask a Question section. Hey, what does this mean when this is happening? We'll pop on and talk about it. We also have a guest call-in line. If any of you would ever like to call in and ask us questions on the fly, we can do that as well. But that's what I have there. And I want to mention one other thing prior to, because we're about to get into this here in about 8 minutes. So Doge Titbot, dog with an E at the end, Doge, just opened up. You can now API connect through your Twitter handle or your Reddit handle. And this is something that I'm going to start testing here, if not later this week. As soon as I'm done with the site, I'm going to start testing it, probably next week. And I'll let you guys know how this goes. So any of you that understand what arbitrage is, it's simply, it's like walking up to an ATM machine, putting $10 in and pulling $100 out. Okay? That's arbitrage. If you could do that all day long, this cost me 10, I can get $100 worth out of this. Best example I could give you, Michael Strecko, the guy that CEO or ex-CEO, I think he just stepped down a few months ago, of Noam.com. He showed me years ago at an SES in New York, how to go to Kazakhstan, and that's a joke, but Eastern Bloc countries, and Google has since patched this years and years ago, so it doesn't work anymore. But, I'll just tell you guys. This was for mesothelioma. Any of you that have been around for a while, you know that that was a huge deal. Google AdSense was paying out almost $45 per click. So you had to get your quality score up, and this is one we should discuss when Fabio's around. But we used to be able to go on. I own bestmesotheliomalawyers.com. I had two attorneys in the entire website. It was a directory. Should have had thousands of attorneys. It was a joke. Only built it. It was an MFA site made for AdSense, which is where I get paid when people click on a Google ad on my website. So what we did was we surfed proxies. We bought proxy lists, and we paid Google, and we clicked on our own links over in Kazakhstan, and we were only paying 8 cents per click type of thing. So once we got our quality score way up, we switched our country from Kazakhstan to the United States, and we were getting clicks at rough 30 cents per click, and people would come through that were looking for a mesothelioma lawyer. They'd come there and go, well, you've only got two lawyers, and it's not anybody in my area. These people, what do we know about them? They're already ad clickers. They clicked an ad to come to our website. never ranked it, right? So they click on one of our other ads, and then we get paid $45. So we were effectively trading 30 cents for $45 every time a click happens. That was great for quite a while. I hope I don't piss anybody off in the industry, because there's quite a few of them that didn't ever want that story to get out. But anyway, long story short, that's arbitrage. Now, fast forward to 2015, this is what I'm talking about. You can go load up your social media account with 100,000 Doge for, I don't even know what the exchange rate is today. I'm a multi-dojillionaire. That being said, I can give away 100 Doge to anybody that retweets one of my tweets. Do you retweet me? I hit at Doge Tipbot, tip at username, 100 Doge. 100 Doge, holy cow, what is this? They have no idea what it is. It probably cost me, you know, 2 to 7 cents, depending on where it's at today. It's a cryptocurrency, like Bitcoin and Litecoin, et cetera. You've heard me talk about cryptocurrencies quite a bit throughout our startup in October here with Geeks Roundtable. So the idea is, if I sent somebody 2 cents, they're going to be like, get out of here. What are you doing, man? I don't need 2 cents. I've got probably $10 in my couch cushions. But 100 Doge, you know what I mean? That can become, if Doge is anything like Bitcoin, I have buddies that got into Bitcoin at under $2. And last year it hit $1,200 a Bitcoin, right? So getting in at $2 is pretty freaking sweet. I wish I would have paid more attention. When I was first told about it, I said, this isn't going to catch on. PayPal is already big. Well, Microsoft, and you know, which was mentioned in one of our other podcasts, started accepting Bitcoin. And cryptocurrencies are going to be huge in 2015. I've already talked to you guys about all the link opportunities. Just giving people another way to purchase your products and or services. That's going to be huge. So keep an eye out for that. I'm going to start seeing if I can do some arbitrage just for my clout score. Let's say I'll spend $50 on it. I don't care. Just to see what happens. If I start tipping everybody that comes through, I have tipped a couple of charities back when it was much more expensive than it is today. 10,000 Doge here and there, and told them to hold on to it, you know? So the Dogecoin, DogeTipBot.com. Go there. You can sign up with a Reddit account or your Twitter account. It takes about 2 seconds. I already had Reddit. I've been doing this since, probably next week will be a year, I think. Pretty sure. I'll have to look and see if it's my cake day or not. But anyways, with Doge. So, and I'm still mining Litecoin, Dogecoin, and Bitcoin. So very interesting. And it's one of those, if you can encourage people, oh, wow, look at this. I retweeted something this guy did, and I got 100 Dogecoin. I'm going to retweet everything he says all day long. And I'm going through Nuzzle. If I could get a huge following doing that, I think I've got something like 20,000, 21,000 followers on Twitter. If I can get a bunch of people doing that, it's costing me literally pennies to drive traffic to anything that I'm sending out there. So as long as I'm sending out quality information and people are retweeting it and I'm giving them Doge, they're happy, I'm happy, whomever I'm trying to send traffic to is happy. So when you start to think about boosting a post on Facebook.
Hey, Dave, just want to say there's 30 seconds left in the live, so the rest of it's going to be ish, so you have to go listen to it on playback, but keep going.
Sweet. So basically, to wrap that up, if we can do it and pull that off, it's going to make everybody happy. What I was saying is if you're looking at Facebook ads to boost a post, which is now a new thing with Facebook, you're going to have to do that. We'll talk to Fabio about that on the next episode. But to me, I see a strong arbitrage ability, and I don't see a lot of marketers stepping into that position. I'm not sure how they're going to convert. We'll have to test with analytics and see how that works out. But I do believe for 2015, Bitcoin, Litecoin, and Dogecoin arbitrage is going to start happening through social media. DogeTipBot.com makes it the easiest. So, yeah, definitely check that out. So that's what I have.
Pretty sweet. I'll tell you what, there's a few more things that one, if you're a guy that has a shoestring budget, okay, because these are some of the things we wanted to talk about in 2015. Our firms are expensive, okay, but we understand there are people out there that just don't have the budget to work with us. That doesn't mean that you can't ask a question and we won't try and help you and things like that. If you got a large budget and you want to work with a firm like ours, that's fine. But if you're running on a shoestring budget, here's a little tidbit. Now, it's a roll of the dice. You know, some are good, some are bad. But like Fiverr.com, that's Fiverr.com, okay? There are developers, and yeah, a lot of them from India and China and things like that, that will, you know, set you up a WordPress site. And by set you up, I mean like install it, $5. Or build pieces, parts, or build you a logo, or there's just all kinds of different things on there for really cheap. Okay, so that's something maybe if you got a shoestring budget, you might want to check it out. Again, I'm not endorsing anybody in particular on Fiverr, but if
for really cheap, advice. For $5 US dollars, exactly. On the website is $5.
No, that's not true. Most things on the website
you
are
$5. You have to purchase additional gigs, but you have to. I've been working on Fiverr for a couple of years. Different things. Here's a perfect example. You've all heard our intro to Geeks Roundtable, the music in the background. I added the music. I did that myself. But the DJ, he's a radio morning DJ for 104 point something in Florida. On his side gig as a voiceover guy, that was actually $15 because of the length and this and that and yada yada. But everything's in $5 increments. He'll do this much for $5, this much more for $5, and then I think the whole thing was actually only $10, and I tipped him an additional $5 because he did a really good job, and he had a 24-hour turnaround on it. I will say this, though. First client I ever outright fired to his face in a boardroom. He was asking me about voiceover work. I told him about Fiverr. He went on there. He typed in SEO and found that he could get 60,000 backlinks for $5. Brand new website. I'm tracking everything through Google Analytics and Webmaster Tools. And Schmackle had the freaking audacity to say, well, I didn't do anything. Really? Where did these 60,000 links on a two-week-old website come from? Oh, you must be popular. No, you're about to go on the penalty, and you're fired.
That's the other thing. You got to be careful with what you're doing in there because you can do things to hurt your website too, or you could have somebody who, let's face it, if you're paying $5, don't expect much. So don't expect a super secure site. Don't expect things that people are doing. So the fact of it is, it's a roll of the dice. But I thought I'd throw it out there because I know some people don't have a big budget to work with.
Sure.
So
and that's fine. You can get a cartoon caricature of yourself made for $5. I was asking just prior to the podcast starting, because you said you were going to mention this. Did you ever see the video I sent Russ? We're actually going to have to put that up on the website as well. And I know Russ was listening. He's going to be, he's going to hate it. Russ and Stacey.
Hey, we would like to welcome Russ back from China because, Russ just got back from China, had a great time over there. But go ahead.
So there was a guy, and if you look in Off the Wall, people will sell you a ball jar with a ghost in it for $5 and ship it to your house. Now, that's kind of weird. $5, if that's your deal, good for you. But for Russ's birthday, I wanted to do something where, you know, I could show – Russ and I have been best friends since 1987. So I wanted to show how much I loved him and embarrass the hell out of him in front of his friends and family at the same time. So I got a guy – I can't even remember what song it was. I think it was the Macarena. It starts off – he made me an entire video for $5. For an additional – $5, he would have written Russ's name on his ass cheek with lipstick. But it starts off all nice and sweet because we were roommates in our teens, you know, 1920, yada, yada, before we got married and whatnot. And it's this real sweet thing. And then all of a sudden it zooms into this guy's eyes and it zooms out and it's a guy wearing a Speedo that does the Macarena. And it says, happy birthday. Well, I immediately posted that to Facebook and, you know, on his timeline.
Of course you did. See, this is why me and Russell really wonder, like, how do you have that friend? You know, do you have that friend where you're like, I don't even want to still friends with him? Really? Dave is that friend. He's that guy. Cause you're like, I don't even want to still friends with him because of the stuff he does to me. But yeah,
Ryan. You and I are same
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not like that. I'm innocent. I'm, Dave's the one out running around with the girls. I'm the one that went home early for church. Okay, so let's just put it out. What?
Right. So
One last thing. One last thing before we wrap it up. All right, I found this Tab Snooze. Okay, which is a Chrome log on, so I can't give you or add on. I can't give you a link to it, but if you go to the Chrome store and you check it out, it's called Tab, T-A-B, Snooze, S-N-O-O-Z-E. It's the coolest thing, especially for developers and people that you've got 30,000 tabs open, and it starts to bog down. It's terrible. So you can take those things and you can snooze them till tomorrow, till this weekend. And it'll shut that tab down, and then it'll open it back up when you tell it to. When you say, like, snooze for 15 hours or whatever, then it'll do it. And for those of you who always log into a certain, and you've got to log into it once a day, let's say, for instance, like your backups. You know, you've got to run your backups once a day, so you got to log into it. You can have that tab open, do what you need to do, and then when you're done, hit snooze and tell it to open up tomorrow. Okay, so it shuts that tab off. So it's not bogging everything down. And then it'll open back up tomorrow. You run your, you know, stuff, and you go, okay, I'm done. You snooze it till tomorrow again. So I found that really useful. It's kind of cool. It's a free. It's a Chrome add-on. So go to the Chrome store, check it out. And with that, I'll let Dave bring us back around, and we'll end it up.
Sounds like a lazy man's Control H on Chrome.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, if you go through 100 web pages per day, it's a lot easier.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Personally, myself, Ryan, I would just save that to my I'd bookmark it and just open it every day, go through my routine. But I'm going to give it a try and see how it works and if it's great. I do want to mention one other real quick Google Chrome plugin, Readline. It's Readline. You can go in and adjust it so you can take a 1,000 or a 2,000 word article, and if you can read at 500 words per minute, you highlight the text, hit the space bar, and it will jump the words in front of you so you can read a 1,000 word document in 2 minutes. It is great if you read as much as we do. Very simple, very easy to use Chrome plugin. Check out the Chrome store. There's lots of good free productivity stuff there. So with that, welcome back to the new year and Geeks Roundtable. And we will have Fabio on next time, kicking and screaming if we have to. So for the Geeks Roundtable, this is David.
This is Ryan.
We'll see you guys next time.
Welcome to the Geeks Roundtable podcast with Ryan Scherer, Fabio Caffaro, and David Brown. Join us every Thursday at 1 Pacific, 4 Eastern to learn all the geeky goodness from PPC, SEO, dev, design, security, and much, much more. Visit geeksroundtable.com today.